Yes, Lord. Help. Help us. For it matters not what we face in this life, we are helpless. Without you, without life. And you are the source of our life. The power that we operate by is not some self-generated power. We're not operating based on the natural hydro of this world, the battery system, and all of that. The power that we need in our lives is a power that comes from you, the God who created all things and gave life to all things. It is to you that we come and we say, Lord, help. Be lifted up in our lives. Let your glory be made manifest. Let us walk, O God, in your favor all of our days. May we never be separated from you. Thank you, Lord, for eternal grace, for a loving kindness that doesn't know when to quit. For there's no quit in you. And we'll receive that same grace in our lives, that we forever may continually stay attached, walking in faith, not by sight, but by your faith. Thank you, Father, for all that you are to us and all that you'll always be. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all here tonight. And it's a good day to be alive, to know that we have a God who has loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you, worship team, for your faithful support in leading us. Amen. We are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot. And if I start commenting on what that means, I'm going to be logged in there for a while before getting into the real gist of the message. I was able to, this morning, go backwards some just to bring everybody to a par level before we moved on. But I cannot afford to do that every time. So today we're going to continue from where we stopped. One of the central themes that we were working on as we talked about tabernacle in relationship with the covenant, because you cannot, in realistic terms, separate those two things. If you're talking about the tabernacles in the wilderness, you got to be talking about Abraham. If you're talking about the tabernacles in the wilderness, you got to talk about Moses. You got to talk about Joseph. But as we talk about Joseph and explore Joseph, there are lessons that we need to learn from Joseph that are of utmost importance. This is one of those characters that the Word of God presents to us that reveals things about the workings of the realm of the Spirit, but also the workings in the natural realm. If you can understand Joseph, you'll do well in business. There are business principles found in Joseph. If you understand Joseph, you understand that life has ups and downs. but that God is in the up and God is in the down and everywhere in between. If you study Joseph, you understand that sometimes when something good is happening, something bad is about to follow it. But ultimately, the story of Joseph is this, that it doesn't matter whether you go up or down. God will take you to your destination point. If you don't jump out of that car and decide, I don't know where this GPS thing is taking me, the chances are you will end up where you're supposed to go. There might be a detour on the road, but detours normally lead back to the main road. So don't quit because there was a detour. It's called a detour because it's a detour. Takes you out of the way, but it's not taking you completely from your destiny. It takes you out of the way that you planned. Let me say that again. It takes you out of the way that you planned, but it does not mean you will not get to your destination. Because the one who created the detour also planned for you to get back on your track. Hello? You're still going to get on track. It might take a little bit longer, but you're going to get on track. Moses generated a detour by killing an Egyptian, and it added another 30 plus years to the plan, but God had all of it together. It was okay. What I'm saying is this. You're fine. You're okay. Don't beat yourself down to nothing and think you're not going to make it. You will make it. Amen? You will make it. That is, if you mix the word of God with faith. If you don't quit, you will arrive. But if you quit, you won't. Nobody is going to blame God and say to God, God, you did not keep your side of the bargain. In Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10, Proverbs 24 and verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is what? Small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Say it with me. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. In essence, you're not supposed to faint in the day of adversity. You're supposed to outlast the adversity. If you fail, if you faint, when adversity comes, you're not strong enough. Your strength, your ability to withstand is too limited. Hold on to that verse. Well, let's look at 24 verse 4 and especially verse 5. Proverbs 24 verse 4 and verse 5. It says, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now verse 3 tells us that a house is built by wisdom and it's established by understanding. And by knowledge, the chambers are filled. Now, verse 5. A wise man is what? Strong. A wise man is what? Strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. So what is that? What that means to you and I is this, that you cannot afford to live in the world of I've graduated. A wise man is strong. I have wisdom. Good for you. You're wise. God says there's something beyond wisdom. There's something else you need to do. What is it that I'm supposed to do? Have knowledge. Have supernatural insight. Because when you have that, it increases your strength. So it's not that you fainted because you were not strong. It's that you've refused to continue to increase in knowledge. I must continue to improve myself by studying to know more. Many times I ask God questions. I say, God, this verse here, I think I know what it's saying, but I think there's more to it than this. So what is it that you're really trying to say? I'm presenting my case. Reveal it to me. If he wants me to find it out in some book, then I'll find it out from some book. If he wants me to find it out from somebody that I'm going to be talking to, he's going to tell me, listen to the instruction, listen to what this guy's saying. But I found out that 99.9% of the time, when I ask God a personal question about what something means, he's the one who comes and talks to me because I talked to him. He has all knowledge. The knowledge of man is limited to man. What he knows, what he's experienced, all of that is all good. Study. Is that what the Word of God says? It says study. To show yourself approved. You know, when you buy an appliance here in Canada, they have the CSA sign on it. That means it's been approved. Even Canadian Tire has their mark. Yeah, this one is verified. This is good. We've checked it out. Well, God checks you out also to see whether you can handle the journey. And if you fail, it is not to condemn you. It is there to show to you that there are things that you still need to know how to do. It's not about condemning you and saying, look, failure. No, it's about God saying to you, son, what you thought you knew, you don't know enough. Learn some more. Increase your strength so that you don't faint. You see, you may not have fainted doing the 100-meter dash. And you may have not fainted when you did the 200-meter. And you may have not fainted when you did the 400. You may have not fainted when you did the 800 dash. You didn't faint when you did the kilometer. You may have not fainted doing the half marathon, but you don't have the strength to do the full marathon. You need to increase strength. Based on what assignment God has for you, the amount of strength I need may not be the amount of strength that you need. And I cannot compare myself with you and say, well, she's not doing as much as I am doing. Well, your assignment is different from mine. I need a particular strength to do what I have been assigned to do. You need the strength that you need to do what God has called you to do. Everybody has been given a measure of faith. Some people had 5 talents, some people had 2, one had 1, according to their several abilities. He doesn't give to every one of us the same, but he gives to us all equally. You say, what do you mean by that? Equally based on what you can handle. Because God will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear. So, child of God, this is the deal. If I'm going through a temptation, I must also recognize that that's how much faith God has on what he has placed inside of me. Do you get it? Wow, brother, I can't understand how you can be going through this. This is really big. And the person you are talking to is looking at you and saying, yeah, I guess it is big. For me to leave this podium, this is really heavy. For Samson, it's a pinky job. What has God set you up to accomplish? Every one of us can accomplish what God has called us to, if we mix the word of God with faith. God said it, I believe it. If he said I can, then I must be able to. I can. No, you can't. On the basis of what? Look at you, scrawny little guy. You think you can do something here? Do you think that the people were shocked at what Samson was able to accomplish because he was so buffed? Then that wouldn't have been a surprise. But then look at this skinny little guy with long hair and say, ah, look at him. Can't do nothing. And he cleans their slate. He goes, carries a whole gate, and carries it uphill. So what on earth? What is his secret? What is your secret, man? How is it that you are able to last and at last? What is it? Oh, the secret is being one with God, agreeing with what God says, logging into that, and following through. So it was with Joseph. Joseph has gone through the pit experience, he's gone through Potiphar's wife's experience. He's now in the prison, and right there in prison, he meets with 2 key people. A butler and a baker. And they both have dreams. They're dreaming. And in their dream, the butler says, I see myself mixing drinks and serving the Pharaoh. Basically, that's the interpretation. But let's go. Let's see the exact wording of what his dream was. In Genesis chapter 40, I'll pick it up from the very beginning of Genesis chapter 40 and read through to it. So now it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. He's angry with them. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Now, as you read closely, you'll find out they're in the same prison, but the captain has these special prisoners in a special place. The warden has a special house by the prison. Let's go further. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Joseph came unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. That's key. That he is going through his problems and is still recognizing the problems of other people. Still attentive. And the reason that is so true is what I was talking to you about this morning. He has not embraced bitterness in his spirit. He did not harden his heart. Even though he did not understand why he was going through what he was going through, he had a connection with God, and he was not about to mess that up. So he's still sensitive. And he says to them in verse 7, he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house. You see that? They're in a different place. They're in the prison, but hey, what did you do? Come, okay, you're in prison. You're in prison. But stay here in my house. Stay here. So they're having this special treatment, and Joseph comes out of the dungeon and ministers to them. This was God's way of saying, listen, you're about to get out. when you are coming out and you can smell fresh air and then you go back, you see, don't get so upset about it. It is God giving you the practice run that you're about to come out of something. So he goes out and he ministers to Pharaoh's butler and baker, and he goes back to his dungeon. And while he's doing this, he says, wherefore look ye so sadly today? I know you've been feeling bad, but why are you? There's something different this time. You're looking really sad. And both of you at the same time. And he said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. Because normally they had the services of Pharaoh's court. There are people there that will interpret dreams. And they don't have that now. We don't have anybody to interpret our dream. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Oh, this is very key. This is powerful. Do not interpretations belong to God? And then he says, tell me them, I pray you. Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. In other words, I got God. But it's going to get better. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to get better. Because I'm about to reveal a very special secret to you from the Word of God. And this is going to come out of the mouth of the butler. The butler and the baker had their dreams, and Joseph is going to interpret those dreams. Let's talk about the interpretations, but I'll talk to you about the power of what you just read just a moment ago. The chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and a blossom shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Look at that dream again. He sees a vine, has three branches, and it is budding, it is blossoming, it is generating clusters of grapes. All kinds of things are happening almost simultaneously, progressively, but happening bang, 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 bang. And Joseph says to him, you know what? The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. That, please take note of that. Take note of that, that statement. Because you're going to hear the butler tell us a powerful secret. He's going to tell us exactly what happened. He says, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. In other words, man, you're going to be okay in 3 days. Things, you're going to be restored to your rightful place. Next verse. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. And bring me out of this house. You show me kindness. You tell Pharaoh about me and get me out of this place. there's Joseph trying to get himself out. Well, just like he said, that's exactly what happened. He gets out. And do you know how long it took for that butler to remember to tell Pharaoh? 2 good years. Can you imagine when you think, I've just done this guy a favor. He's going to go out there. And you know the butler said, oh man, who will I ever tell him? And you know when the butler was leaving, there is Joseph. Remember, man? Remember? Remember? And what is, I got your back. I got your back. Don't worry. It's all fine. I'm going to talk to him as soon as I get. And he quickly gets out and forgets him. Ignores it. Why won't you be bitter? Another disappointment. How many times have you been disappointed? I had an uncle, he's late now. I tell my own personal stories to tell you, listen, I feel you, because I've gone through these things too myself. He's living on 9285 Dufferin. And he's talking to one of my uncles, fairly well-to-do. Couldn't work in this country legally. Had no money. And I was talking to this uncle, and he says to me, you know what? I just talked to your dad, and he's sending you money. The money's on the way. I said, is money on the way for us? Yes. And I'm excited about it. I'm so happy my dad is sending me money. This uncle of mine could send me any amount of money I needed. He was well-to-do. If I needed $50,000, he could send it to me like that without blinking. And tells me my dad is sending me money. Well, I took his word, and I went to my bank manager. I said, I have some bills to take care of right now. Money's coming. And they looked at me, and I found favor. Could you believe it? The bank actually gave me money based on the fact that I was expecting money. But there was no money coming. It was a big, fat lie. And guess what? I was so forgiven. I was so loving, and I was so sympathetic with this uncle of mine, right? No, man, was I ever hot. Oh, man, I'm not going to forgive this guy. How dare he lie to me like that? I was so disappointed with this man. How could he do such a crazy thing? Now I am owing money that I should not owe because of this. Oh. And you get disappointed by the actions of people, what do you do? I wasn't acting godly then. My faith was in a man's word. Now, man's word should count for something. But this man lied to me. And I'm thinking, this Jehovah Witness guy carrying his Bible every time lies to me like this. Just like we say, oh, you're supposed to be, you're a Christian, right? You're a Christian, and you deceived me. I expect you to do such a crazy thing. And so I was so disappointed, and I'm so angry. But that's not Joseph. Joseph kept his cool. Why? God was with him. That is the one thing that will keep you out of unforgiveness, recognizing that. When I came to that place and I found out that what my uncle told me was a lie, I went back to square one. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God, you are my source. You are my helper. You will see me through this situation. I'm at peace. Do you know what God did? There was a lady. She was watching our television program, Message of Deliverance. She got delivered watching the program. And this woman located us. Evie O'Hara. She's part of my story. I tried to connect with her a few years back. I don't know if she's still around or she's gone home to be with the Lord. It was so long a story way back that she doesn't even remember this particular experience. This woman opened a bank account. I didn't ask, I didn't tell anybody my story. Oh, look at what I'm going through. This woman opened a bank account, put $1,000 in it, a Royal Bank account, brought the passbook, placed it in our hands, and said, I know that you go to try to get immigration things done and stuff like that. When next you go, show them this passbook, that you've got $1,000 in your account. So I said, you do that for me? She said, yes. So we went for our regular immigration stuff. I showed my passbook. And then I got back. I said, thank you very much. They gave us an extension for 2 weeks. Here's your passbook back. She said, no, that's not for me. That's yours. I said, what do you mean it's mine? Oh, I opened the account and I put money in there for you. It's your money. I opened the bank account for you. That's your bank account. I didn't ask this woman for anything. Didn't even tell her my problem. But God somehow had gone to somebody that I never knew, had never met. During this time, people were bringing gross bags of groceries and leaving it on my steps. I will see money in my bank account, in my mailbox. In a neighbor, if you know where 285 Dufferin is, you know, you don't leave anything on the front steps and it will be there. If while you are standing there, if you blink, it's gone. And be wondering, where? I thought it was here. It's gone. But my stuff will all be there. I was in a rough place in the city. But I was in a Goshen because nobody touched anything. I found out people were getting killed Next block. And I find out on television where I was Peace City, in the midst of a confused state. You listening? When I try to do it in my own strength, did my uncle tell me to go to the bank to go borrow money? He didn't tell me to do any such thing. He just told me money was coming. I got myself into that mess. God got me out of it. Hallelujah. God saw me messing up, but God did not leave me because he got me out of it. And I'm saying to you, please, 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 yes, we know you messed up royally. You messed up big time. Everybody and their cat and their dog know about it. When you are coming, the dog is going, wow, 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 I know you. You messed up. But it doesn't matter. Not if God stands with you and says, I cover you. I cover you. I will help you. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is too small. In other words, your faith in knowing who God is too small. You better know who God is and what God stands for. And when you grab a hold of God and do not let go, you will know the blessings of God in your life. He will take you out of your mess and he will change your name from the name of a deceiver and a defeated supplanter to a name of a winning warrior. He'll change you. He'll make something new out of it. They say, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. I think God is the best lemonade maker. He comes and he takes things that are all messed up and he brings out something amazing out of it. He's a faithful God. Hallelujah. So here is this man. He interprets the baker's story and tells him exactly what's going to happen to him. And just like he said, the baker was going to be hung and his body eaten up by birds. But for 2 years, he's forgotten. In Genesis 41 and verse 1, we know how long he was there. It came to pass at the end of two full years, that Pharaoh dreamed. So Pharaoh dreamt a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. And he dreams this dream about these fat cows, seven of them, that were standing, came out of this river, and then this other seven lean, emaciated cows that came out, and these lean ones ate up the big fat ones. Wakes up, scared about it. Goes to sleep again, and he dreams another dream. This time it is corn. Big fat ears of corn. Ranked good. And then there's this terrible looking corn. And the corn ate up the corn. Weird dreams. This is definitely beans. But no, something is happening here. And he finds and he looks for somebody to interpret, and there's nobody. But he is there amongst the people that should be able to interpret. The butler thought that he was in the wrong place because he was not where the people that interpret dreams are. Pharaoh is in the right place. He's where the people that interpret dreams are, and they can't. It's not where you are. That's not the difference. The difference is God. Hello? I'm coming to the secret I told you I was going to share with you. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. He had all of these resources, and all his resources could not solve his problem. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Oh! Man, I made a promise to a guy. I forgot all about it. I was just about myself and the fact that I was reinstated into my position, and I forgot about this. But there was a guy. There was a guy. I met him in prison. You mean a jailbird? Yes. He interpreted your dream. Yes. And it happened exactly the way he said. But this is what I want you to see. He says, Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. Verse 11, and we dreamed a dream in one night, and I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. Now, watch this. This is good. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Did you see it? Me he restored. Him he hanged. You say, Pastor, what's that? That is the power of interpretation. The power of the word. The power of recognizing that you are with God and God is with you. And as long as you stay in that connection, what you say is what is. He said, he restored me to my office. Him, he hanged. He decided, you're going to die. You're going to live. And you that's going to live, don't forget me now. His interpretation was what established the butler. What is it all about? The butler recognized that there was no way that he was supposed to be acquitted. What he had done was too serious. I'm sure the baker's problem was not as bad. Maybe the baker is thinking, it's going to be okay. But Joseph already said, you kaput. Kapish? You live. Joseph's words. He said, only God. And God in me is saying something. What is God saying about your situation? Do you believe that what you're going through is going to take you out? Or do you believe that God is going to take you through? Though I walk through the valley, though I walk through. He didn't say I'm going to die in the valley. So I'm going to go through it. And while I'm going through it, I am not going to be afraid of any evil. Because God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Are you beating yourself down and thinking, there's no way I'm going to make it? I've wasted too many years. From the time that young man dreamt his dream to the time he became prime minister was 13 years. He was 30. So for 13 good years, he was being battered, going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, looking like nothing good is happening in his life. You see, it looks like he was going downwards. Potiphar's house was a good top place, wasn't it? You see, you can be lifted up to a place and you think, this is it, because you think that's all you are worth. That's all I'm worth. Potiphar's house. Look at me. All the servants. Look at me. I'm a big man. Ah, look at me. Hey, you come here. Sit down there. And I sit down there. Go and get me some water. You're the boss man. And you think that's it. No, it is not it until all the sheaves bow down to you. It's not it until the moon and the stars bow. It's not it. In essence, child of God, don't settle when you've not arrived. Don't settle. Be wise enough to identify where you are. I was told that I'm going to arrive at this particular hotel. And you drive in and you meet different other hotels. That's not your destination. It's a hotel, but that's not it. What did God tell you before you started this journey? What did he say? That you're going to go halfway? That's what Haran did. God is taking him all the way, and he, the father of Abraham, goes halfway and settles and dies there. God said, no, Abraham, this is not the place. I got a place for you. I got a special place for you that I want to give to you, and it's not here. You're not going to receive something that God has not ordained for you to have. You're going to be thrown out of that seat that you're trying to sit on when God did not say that's your seat. Anybody occupying your space must be thrown off your place. It's not their place. So the word of God says, overturn, overturn, overturn. until the rightful person comes, and I'll hand it over to him. May God take you by the hand and bring you to your rightful place. Let anybody who's trying to sit on the seat that God has ordained for you be kicked out for their benefit, because they need to go find their own seat. Hallelujah. My seat is not your seat. Move. What God has for me is what God has for me. You cannot take my stuff. You cannot take my anointing. You cannot take the glory that God has over my life. You cannot take my resources. You don't have the right to it. You can do whatever it is you want to do. You take my stuff will become trouble in your life. You understand? Yeah, I had a dream once, not too long ago. Somebody that used to be here came, and I finished ministering. I'm walking out, and I feel something holding on to my elbow. I looked around. I said, "You're trying to take the anointing. You're trying to take an anointing. Let me tell you something. You try to take any anointing from me, it will destroy you." Do you understand? I walked with him to his car. I said, "Did you hear what I said? The anointing of my life will destroy you. You don't go take something that does not belong to you." Hallelujah. Nobody can take what belongs to you. It will become damage to them. David recognized it. He said, I've not tried this stuff. Your coat and your armor, that's too heavy for me. I'll take what God has given to me. What God has given to me is, I know the word of God. The word of God says that if you blaspheme against God, you get stoned. So he grabs 5 stones and went after a Goliath, because what will kill Goliath and get Goliath down is stones, not this armor. This armor is too heavy for me. It doesn't fit me. The anointing that God has for your life is custom made for you. Custom made. It fits you perfectly. It grows with you. Ay, 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 ay. Tossed. He is in his rightful place, and he begins to interpret. The prophecy or dream of Pharaoh. When you're a dreamer, God will also elevate you to be an interpreter. If you don't grow to the place of interpreting other people's dreams, please hear this. If you don't grow to interpreting other people's dreams, you will never come to your true destiny. It's one thing for you to dream and know what God has for you, but the pathway to you fulfilling your destiny is in interpreting other people's dreams, helping them to get to where they need to get. The reason I share the word of God so meticulously, step by step, and imparting into you what you need for your life is because I want you to get to where you need to get to in your life. Because when you arrive, I also arrive. If I keep it to myself, I will never get there. Two weeks ago, I shared a word about Melchizedek. Do you remember that? And I said, now I was not being arrogant. I came across that way, please forgive that, because that was not my intention. I said, I do believe that most people don't know what I'm about to share with you. Do you remember saying something like that? And I shared with you about the secret of Melchizedek and why Abraham brought him the tithe. Because this is a character in the scriptures that we have very little information on. And as I was sick in the face of God, I'm saying, what's going on here? Actually, let me back step. That's not exactly how it happened. How it happened was, I was talking to the Lord about different things. And the Lord broke through the system and said, I want to show you something. He said, what is it? And he took me to this particular scripture, and I'm reading it, and I read past Melchizedek, and I see the battles of kings and stuff like that, and I'm going past there in the Psalms. He said, you just went past the secret. What was happening? I said, what was happening? He said, that's when he told me. He said, Melchizedek was the real one fighting the battle. And I looked at the passage again. And there it was staring me in the face. I didn't come about that truth by my own smartness. I came about that truth in the Word of God based on what God was saying. It was right there, but I did not know it until God revealed it. Now I could keep that secret from you. I know something that you don't know about Melchizedek. And guess what? After a while, I'll forget it. And now it benefits me nothing, and it benefits you nothing. I can come here and talk to you about Isaac, and at this time, and how Isaac was a manifestation of God fulfilling a promise, and how that is connected to the sacrifice. You're not going to go read that in some book. Those are statements behind the veil. There are things I talk to you about here so many times that you're not going to find in anybody's book anywhere. But gotten from the secret place, drawing on the secrets of the kingdom so I can maneuver my life and move with God through different obstacles. If you know, if you had an idea of how many times the enemy's plotted to shut my mouth. No kidding, that happened? Oh yeah. And the shocker is that there is a place called Glory and Peace Church. And in spite of the challenges, it is still forging on and going and going and going and going. You think it just happens? You think it just happens? You know how many people have tried? But the grace of God is sufficient. And I'm not going to lose sight of what God said. God, this is what you said. And I'm going to continue until I see the manifestation of everything you said. I'm not going to embrace anything that's going to cause me to plateau or settle anywhere. No way, Jose, is that going to happen. God, you said it, and I'm with you. You cannot lie. If I fall flat on my face, just carry me across the finish line. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God is going to carry you all the way. You're going to finish strong. You're going to finish as a mighty warrior to the glory of the living God. They kept on knocking Joseph down, but Joseph kept on coming, bouncing back up. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're like a ball. You keep on bouncing. The bounce is still on me. I was walking today. I said, man, you got a bounce to your feet? I said, yeah, I got a bounce. It makes the devil mad, but I don't care. Victory is ours in Christ Jesus. If you receive this word, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to stop there today, and we're going to continue. There's still more to receive out of all of this. Amen. This is the pathway that God started so that we could have the feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. Without Joseph, no feast. Mm-mm. It was not going to happen. But God has been revealing himself through the years. And we've come to the place where God is saying, I am going to be Emmanuel, God with us. And in that place, there is no way we can fail. Rise with me. Glory be to God. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for grace, for the sufficiency of your love. You are God, and besides you, there is none else. You remain true to the integrity of your word. You manifest the glory of your word in us and through us. And here we are. And like never before, we recognize that if we're going to be whatever it is that you say we're going to be, it's all going to happen because of your grace, because of your mercy, because of your loving kindness. It's all going to happen because, Father, you have promised that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You said a mother may forget her child that is sucking, but that you won't. We believe that word. We receive that word. And we say, Lord, let it be unto us according to thy word. Take us all the way through. Bring us, O God, to the destiny you've ordained. Let every challenge, O God, be a stepping stone to a higher level in you. Yes. Yes. Troubles do come. True. But Lord God, you turn the troubles that come to testimonies of the supernatural movements of God in our lives. We embrace you, Father. We cleave unto you. We cleave unto you. But more clearly, it is that you've cloven yourself to us, and you will not let go. Yes, Lord, you will not let go. Thank you, Jesus, that you never let go of us. You hold us steadfastly, and we forever belong to you. Blessed be your holy name forever, Father. Take us all the way. Carry us. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it done. And all of God's put together an agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, God's voice is in you. Declare God's kingdom come and His will done in the earth as it is in heaven. Remember, nobody can take what belongs to you. It may take time from when the promise was made to the time it's manifested, but if you don't quit, you will see the manifestation of God's will and God's word. Amen? Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. At this time,